Welcome to Commissioned, the Air Force Officer Podcast. Here we explore the training and development of America's leaders in the application of air power and the profession of arms. The views expressed are those of the hosts and do not reflect the official policy or position of the United States Air Force, Department of Defense, or the U.S. government.
Welcome back to another episode of Commissioned, the Air Force Officer Podcast. I'm Colin Slade.
And I'm Reed Gann, and we're your hosts for Commissioned.
Today's episode is a follow-up to really the last two episodes that we have released with Captain Matt Foulkes, but especially the one from last week where we spent a good deal of time talking about the GI Bill benefit. And we felt that the educational benefits of being an officer in the Air Force are so important that we wanted to address them separately in a toolbox type of episode.
Yeah, before we get too far, these benefits apply irrespective of your rank, irrespective of your career field, or even your branch of service. These are benefits that have been given to you by the American people for your use. And even if you don't end up using them, and we'll talk about this as we get later on, your airmen are going to be using them. Your neighbors and friends might be beneficiaries of this. This is a hugely significant, the benefits that have been passed to us. So really looking forward to talking about this one this week.
Yeah. So we want to focus our conversation today on two of the most important educational benefits that are available to us and to your airmen, namely the tuition assistance program and the post 9/11 GI Bill. Notably, we will not be discussing the many other forms of continuing education and graduate programs, such as the Air Force Institute of Technology. I should also say, we will also not cover the Montgomery GI Bill. We just don't have the time in this episode to cover all those things, and we feel that tuition assistance and the post 9/11 GI Bill are the most broadly applicable to anybody that's listening in our audience.
Yeah, if we were to even start to mention all of the ways you can get some sort of education benefit, how much time do you have, right?
That's literally a whole different podcast, like not just a show, that's like an entire podcast on its own.
Yeah, totally agree. But these two in particular, TA and the GI Bill, we're just going to be saying the post 9/11 GI Bill. We're just going to call it the GI Bill just for semantics, ease of use, right? It's just going to take us, it'll make everything a little bit easier. So tuition assistance and the GI Bill, you know, these actually have a really storied history starting back in the 40s, post-World War II. There was a lot of effort to bring some sort of education benefit to the servicemen who had gone off and fought. And it's really interesting, Colin, as I did a little research for, you know, where did this education benefit start? It was really a reaction to not creating some sort of education benefit post-World War I. So bottom line, the Great War, the doughboys go off and fight in Europe. They come back, and the country was in a pretty rough spot financially. So they didn't receive some of the entitlements that they were promised. But additionally, there was no amount of foresight, no predictive quality to the legislation that would have allowed for large numbers of men, working age men, to come back into society to give them skills and opportunities to become employed. And so this led to quite a bit of protests. This led to a whole lot of really unhappy soldiers following the war. So this bill was specifically created, the one that was started in 1944, to help alleviate that issue. A similar bill was passed following the Korean War. And these education benefits really started to change the way the military interacted with civilian society. And it was finally post-Vietnam that they changed the benefits, extending it to all veterans, not just those who had completed some service. So you could actually get some benefit while you're serving. We'll talk about that in the details. But this was the first time that education, the ability to get an education, was seen as an important part and a characteristic of serving in the military. It was used as a recruiting tool, and that's kind of formed the basis of where we are today. This is something that the United States Congress has deemed important And they have created legislation and passed these laws in order to create and maintain the Department of Defense and active duty members that they want. So again, originally started World War One. They didn't do anything. Big protests, lots of unhappy soldiers, not good. So they passed the bill in World War II to help people returning from the war. They did it again following Korea. They did it again following Vietnam. So you can kind of see this pattern of, hey, this is being beneficial to the country. We're going to make this more of a permanent thing.
Yeah, and that all culminated in the post-9/11 experience, the latest great war, if you will, that we have all of these people returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. And so it's at that point that Congress passes the latest iteration of the GI Bill, namely the post-9/11 GI Bill.
These bills and education benefits that have been passed from Congress to the members who serve are widely regarded by both sides of the political spectrum as some of the most significant pieces of legislation ever created. The impact that this bill and these series of bills has on our economy, on our society, is widely regarded as, just incredibly important. And so we will do our best to boil it down to kind of the real nuts and bolts, give you all some tools so that you can make some informed decisions when it comes time.
I've actually had the opportunity to use both of these different programs. So I've used tuition assistance and the post-9/11 GI Bill. I used TA to pay for my master's degree while I was serving on active duty the first time. I stopped using it about halfway through my degree and paid for the rest of it out of pocket because, as you will see a little bit later, it was going to continue to increase my ADSC. There's that word again. We've talked transition. This is a transition tool, and that's something that I needed to be aware of, and so does the rest of our audience, that the TA and the GI Bill, to some extent, can have an impact on your ADSC. I have zero regrets about the way that I use the TA, but I was able to do things that way because I had planned ahead of time. I got informed and I knew what I was doing. Same thing for the GI Bill. I was able to use that to pay for the first year of my PhD program as when I came off active duty the first time. My one regret with respect to using the GI Bill is that I didn't know how my ADSC was going to affect my ability to qualify for the entire GI Bill benefit. Because we'll get into the details on this a little bit later, but I separated the first time 114 days after I had completed my ADSC. And so I only qualified for 40% of the GI Bill benefit, which is a huge cut to what's available. And again, I don't know that I would change the way that I did things, but I wish that I would have understood the GI Bill, ADSCs, and all of this stuff much better so that I could have been at least more informed about my decision. I mean, I remember learning about all of this stuff while I was going through ROTC, but I was in a stage of my life where it just did not register. It was not that important. And so it didn't really compute. It didn't really stick, you know?
And this is a consistent theme, right? Like, you have to know about the stuff ahead of time. You need to plan. You need to have some foresight. When you first hear about these things at OTS, especially if you're a civilian coming off the street, it's probably in the first 72 hours that you really get in depth into this kind of stuff. And let me tell you, you are not in the headspace within the first 72 hours of OTS to be thinking about life decisions. You know, maybe will my children want my GI Bill? No, you're not in that place. You're not mentally ready to have this type of conversation. So we're trying to help prepare you guys and gals to get this knowledge ahead of time so that when you have to make these decisions, when you're in the moment, you're better prepared.
Yeah, for sure. Reed, what was your experience with these different programs, knowing that you were in a very different place from me or most people even when you came into the Air Force?
Yeah, so similarly to you, Colin, you mentioned that you just kind of weren't in the headspace when you first heard about these things and it just kind of didn't stick. That was definitely me. You know, heard about these things first 72 hours of OTS. I'm still trying to figure out how to walk and not get yelled at. But the things that led me to be in a headspace to not really think about it, I came in with my master's degree already complete and paid for. So I wasn't thinking, you get this benefit where you can get money to help you go to school. I'm like, I'm not going to school. I am done. You know, I had no desire to go to school. My wife had already completed her degree. I had one child at the time, but he was less than two. So I wasn't thinking about these benefits really. And I'll be honest, I really didn't start to think about them until only very recently. And that's a foul because, as we'll talk about, even if you don't need these benefits, your airmen are going to be using them. And if you're going to be an effective supervisor, an effective mentor, guide, leader, you need to have an understanding of what these are. So my experience, I came in with a master's degree, so the Air Force wasn't going to pay for another one. And also the kind of master's that they were going to pay for aren't exactly what I was interested in doing. And I decided to transfer my GI Bill benefits to my children. We'll talk about the details of how you can do that later. And so that's really been my experience, is interacting with my airmen as they've gone to school and pursued their education and learning about how I can apply the GI Bill to my dependents. That's really been my focus.
Yeah, cool. So let's start breaking this down for our audience and giving them the information that we wish we would have had and that will be beneficial to them as they go through their Air Force career, both for themselves as well as for their airmen.
All right. So to make things a little bit easier, when I think about the 9/11 GI Bill and I think about tuition assistance, and Colin, back me up on this or straighten me out. For me, when I hear TA, tuition assistance, I think I'm still serving, but I'm also going to school and getting a degree.
Yes, that is correct.
When I think 9/11 GI Bill, overwhelmingly, I think I'm not serving and I'm going to school.
Yes, we will get into that particular use case, but yes, that is correct.
So I just want to give our audience kind of those two broad lanes in the road. And if you start with those frames of mind, it'll make the general conversation a little bit easier, because we're going to get into acronym soup. It's a little bit, there's a lot going on here, Colin. There's a lot going on. So let's start with TA, tuition assistance. I think for those that are serving, this is going to be the one you're going to most often talk about and the one you're going to most often deal with, especially with supervising airmen who are pursuing their education. So tuition assistance, this is outlined in Department of Defense Instruction 1322.25, Voluntary Education Programs. So these are for off-duty volunteer education, either on campus or online. So bottom line, this is you do your 9-to-5, you are taking a night class through some major university. There's kind of a large series of really common ones that we hear officers getting master's degrees through, or your airmen are going through to get their bachelor's degree, et cetera, that sort of thing. This applies to active duty and air reserve component officers and airmen. And the bottom line, this will give you up to $250 per semester credit hour and $4,500 maximum per fiscal year to help pay for tuition. That's kind of like the bulk of this benefit.
Yeah, and it's important to note that it is tuition only, that it does not provide any sort of allowance for books or housing or stipend.
Because you're still getting paid to do your 9-to-5 airman job, right? That's kind of the idea of this benefit. The purpose of TA is exactly as it says, tuition assistance. It's here to help alleviate the cost of tuition so that you can improve yourself, which is vital as an airman, big A airman, to develop yourself to become a better airman. And this is intended to help remove some of the barriers to entry by lowering or eliminating the cost of tuition. So there's some things you have to do. Colin, why don't you walk us through how you kind of make this happen? Because I've never done it. I've just kind of facilitated it, right? Like signed some things as supervisors. But other than that, I've not really gone through this process.
Yeah. So if you want to use TA, or if you have an airman who wants to use it, you have to first be admitted to a university, and you have to have some sort of degree plan built before you can request tuition assistance. And that degree plan can be the specific outline for the major that you're pursuing. If you don't have an actual major in mind, you can use a general degree plan, but you have to have some sort of plan that you're going to upload into the Air Force Virtual Education Center or AFVEC website prior to submitting that request. If you are going to go the generic degree route because you haven't decided on a specific major yet, you can do that for up to 6 semester hours until you have to have an actual major degree plan that's going to be uploaded into that system. And I should say that 6 semester hours for a graduate degree.
Yeah, I like how you have to have this directed in some fashion or form, right? This is not the, hey, I want to go discover myself and go off to school plan. This is the, I know what I'm doing. I have an objective in mind. I'm a serious, hardworking professional, and I'm gonna do it really hard, and I'm gonna work during the day, and I'm gonna go to school at night, and I'm gonna really get this done. And I really like that it's directed and focused in that fashion.
Yeah, the Department of Defense is not interested in paying for you to just take exploratory courses. That may happen a little bit, but they're not interested in paying for you to take glass blowing and bowling and these other types of courses that serve no professional development purpose, right?
Yeah, totally agree. I like that it's given that focus and direction. So you have to request TA before class starts, which means you actually have to start talking to some people. So supervisors, you know, if you get an email from an airman that says, hey, sir or ma'am, please sign my TA benefit request through the AVVEC website. If you get that email and you have no idea that they're going to school, now is the time to have a little counseling session. Get to learn what they're doing. Learn what it is they care about. Figure out what you can do to enable that. And on the flip side, if you want to go to school, you need to start talking to your supervisors. There may be things that they can do to make your life a little bit easier, because this is good for the Air Force. I think that's something we haven't really talked about, right? This benefit, it's good for the Air Force. It's good to have people go out and get an education. This is something we value, and we're willing to pay for it. So we need to find a way to facilitate that.
Yeah. Or at the same time, there may be things that are coming down the pipe that you may be aware of that your airmen are not, or maybe your supervisor is that you are not, that's going to have some sort of impact on your ability to get this education and be successful in it, because you do have to maintain a high level GPA. You have to continually achieve a 3.0 GPA to remain in good standing within this program. And maybe there's a deployment coming, maybe there's an inspection, maybe there's a bunch of exercises or something coming your way that's going to affect your ability to be successful in your academic studies that will impact your ability to use tuition assistance.
Yeah. So make sure you're talking to people. This is an important benefit. Make sure you're communicating often.
And if you don't talk to them, understand that as soon as you apply for tuition assistance, they are going to get an email that your supervisor or you as a supervisor have to approve before you can get your tuition paid for. So you may as well have that conversation ahead of time.
Yeah. So Colin, you were saying it's essential to maintain a 3.0. Additionally, if you fail a course, you have to reimburse the Air Force for the tuition paid.
Yeah. And there are no payment plans for reimbursing the Air Force. It's going to be in a lump sum, which tuition is not cheap, right? It can be very expensive depending on the school that you go to and whether they adjust tuition to meet TA or something like that. This can actually be a really expensive thing. So don't fail.
Yeah, absolutely. When you use TA, you can only use it for a first master's degree. So again, Colin, like we mentioned at the top of this episode, I already had a master's, so I wasn't even eligible to use tuition assistance for additional education. So I wasn't in the headspace thinking ahead enough that as a leader, I needed to think about this for my folks.
And that first master's degree is for you as an officer, or if you have an airman who already has their bachelor's degree paid for through some other program, they can use tuition assistance for master's degree. But if you have enlisted airmen who want to use this benefit, they can use it for their first bachelor's degree.
Okay, so something else, you know, as we round out the details on tuition assistance or TA, you incur a 2-year active duty service commitment from the day your course is completed that the Air Force has paid for. This ADSC runs concurrent with other ADSCs. That's a pretty common thing. We should probably outline that. So ADSCs can either be cumulative or run concurrently. If they run concurrently, that means you can have multiple ADSCs, but they don't stack on top of each other and get bigger and bigger. So an example is if you go to the Air Force Academy, you incur a 5-year ADSC. So let's say brand new second lieutenant, maybe the job isn't as stressful as you thought. So you decide to get your master's degree and use TA to do so. You incur a 2-year ADSC. You don't all of a sudden have a 7-year ADSC. That would be a cumulative ADSC. With TA, you run those ADSCs concurrently or at the same time. You still only have the 5-year. Now, there are things you can do in your career that will incur a cumulative ADSC. The internship I'm in right now will add 3 years ADSC no matter what other ADSCs I have. So that matters when you're trying to make decisions about staying in or getting out or all those types of things.
Yeah, we've talked previously about how important it is that you keep track of your ADSC, and it's for this reason, because all of them are going to impact your ability to transition at certain stages of your career. An important thing to note here, Reed, is that the ADSC incurred from using tuition assistance applies to officers only. So that means that your enlisted airmen are able to use tuition assistance without incurring a service commitment, which is a huge thing, because that means they can essentially go to school for possibly free, depending on the institution that they go to, but they get this benefit without extending their service commitment at all. So maybe you, as a supervisor of enlisted airmen, should be thinking every airman should be taking classes if they're in a position to do so, because that is going to make them better airmen for the Air Force, but also better prepare them for whatever step may come next, right?
Yeah, just think about this for a minute. Let's just play some stereotypes. Let's just think some hypotheticals. You have an airman who enlists at 18 years old without any formal college education. They join the Air Force, they do a 6-year enlistment, which at least in the intelligence career fields is pretty common given the high degree of training required. If they use TA and they work hard, they could finish their first enlistment and have a bachelor's degree paid for by the Air Force. Think about the options that are available to them after their 6 years of service. If they want to stay in, fantastic. We'd love to have you. If you decide to transition and go do something else, wonderful. Thank you for your service. But just think about the amount of change that can happen to that person's lives, their friends, their families, as a result of those decisions. I mean, what an incredible benefit. It's truly staggering what this could do for these people. And that's, like you said, Colin, our job as leaders of airmen to help make sure they're taking advantage of these things.
Yeah, I mean, think about the cost of tuition that's out there for someone who has to pay their own way through school or get a student loan. If you can set up your airmen, or even you yourself can take advantage of this to where you can get a bachelor's degree or a master's degree paid for without having to incur huge amounts of debt or any debt at all. And then when it's time for you to transition, because transition happens to everybody, and you have that already in place, man, you are in such a better position to be successful, because you're not worried about debt. You're not worried about landing the perfect job immediately with the right amount of salary so that you can pay your loan obligations, right? This is a huge stepping stone toward ultimate career success and financial independence later on in life.
Yeah, totally agree. And it's definitely something I've gained an appreciation for as we've gone through the process to research and present this episode to our audience.
Yeah. So wrapping up on tuition assistance, it's a educational benefit that's available to officers and enlisted, active duty and Air Reserve component, Guard or Reserve, that will help to pay for your degree or possibly pay for the entire thing, that everybody should be considering how they can personally use it or how they can help others use it to better prepare themselves for whatever is coming next.
Yep. And the key here, and we'll go into it as we start talking about the post 9/11 GI Bill, you're still serving in some form or fashion to be using tuition assistance. All right. So now we're going to switch hats. Okay. We're going to move to a transitioned airman, that man or woman who has already left the service when we start thinking about the GI Bill. We'll get into some details here. Again, there is so much here to go into. We're going to just try to kind of hit the wave tops, give you the most important things you need to think about so that you can take the best advantage of this benefit. So it's outlined in Department of Defense Instruction 1341.13, post 9/11 GI Bill.
Yeah, and there's also a huge amount of information that's available on the VA benefits website.
Yeah, exactly. That should be a big key to help you differentiate between these two benefits. When you're starting to go to the Department of Veterans Affairs to be getting information on something, generally you're no longer wearing the uniform.
Yeah. Anytime you have to engage with the VA on something, understand that that benefit that you're using, while it may be available to you while you are currently serving, it is primarily for anyone who has already transitioned out of the military and, as you said, Reed, is no longer wearing the uniform.
Yeah. All right. So to be eligible for post 9/11 GI Bill benefits, and again, we're just going to say GI Bill because it'll just save us some time, you have to have an honorable discharge. This is a pretty important fact. The form and fashion by which you leave the service needs to be positive if you're going to be taking advantage of this benefit. Your amount of benefit is based on how much time you served in uniform beyond your active duty service commitment. Colin, why don't you walk us through this? Because you kind of gave us a teaser with it when you went through your experience using the GI Bill.
Yeah, so you have to have served honorably for a minimum of 90 days in order to qualify. Now, this is true for both enlisted airmen and officers, but that 90 days happens differently. For anyone who's coming out of a service academy or ROTC must serve 90 days beyond their initial ADSC. So that ADSC for the academy is 5 years. It's 4 years for ROTC. Now, you tell me what it is for OTS, Reed. I think it's 4 years.
Yep, 4 years for OTS.
Okay, but I don't think that 90 days happens after the ADSC. I think it begins immediately upon entering active duty.
Yeah, and again, this is where we're just going to say, audience, you're going to have to get into the details if you have questions, because there's so much to this benefit. This is definitely a phone a friend type benefit when you need to say, hey, to my specific, unique, very individualized experience, what do I qualify for? The VA is there to help you navigate through that type of thing. So they are there to help you do this. But yes, I think you're on point. That'll help get the most portion of our audience in the right direction.
Yeah. And whenever you apply for VA benefits to include the GI Bill, you're going to receive a certificate of eligibility, which is like an actual piece of paper that they will mail to you that says, these are the number of days that you've served, like down to the day, this number of years, this many months, this number of days, time in service that is applicable toward your eligibility for VA benefits. So a minimum of 90 days to qualify for 50% of the GI Bill benefit. Now, when I was using the GI Bill, that was 40%, but that has recently been changed to be 50% is what you get for that minimum. Now, if you want the 100% benefit, you have to serve honorably for a minimum of 36 months beyond your initial ADSC if you have one to receive the full benefit.
Yep. And that's a real key. it again, we've pointed out numerous times, it's very important to know what your status is relative to your ADSC, if you have one, where you are, because if you want to, you know, say you want to separate and go start a business or something else, you don't want to sacrifice some important benefit that you've been counting on if you weren't aware that you were making a decision that could impact that. So just something to be aware of, that 36 months beyond your ADSC to receive the full benefit.
Yeah. So what does this look like? So we've got somebody who comes out of the academy. They have a 5-year service commitment. They will not be eligible for the full GI Bill benefit until they have served honorably for 8 years. That's a long time, Reed.
It is a long time. But I think when we talk about what the benefits look like, for every person, it's going to be different, but they're pretty significant benefits.
Yeah. One of the greatest benefits that's going to come from you qualifying for the full GI Bill benefit is what's known as the Yellow Ribbon Top-Up Program. This program will pay up to 100% of the costs not covered by the GI Bill if the university that you attend chooses to participate. Again, in order to qualify for that additional benefit beyond your GI Bill, you must have that 36 months of active service, not 35 months, not 35 months and 28 days. It has to be a full 36 months. So be aware of this. Oh, and also I should say that, and we'll talk about the transfer of benefits to dependents, but it is also possible that your dependents, your spouse or your children, may also qualify for the Yellow Ribbon Top-Up Program, which is huge.
Yeah. And let's think about why universities or private organizations would want to participate in this sort of additional benefit. It's because the people leaving the service to their nation overwhelmingly are coming with skills, with knowledge, with experience. They're dedicated, they're hardworking, and institutions and organizations have recognized the benefit that education is, and they've also recognized the benefit of having these people in their schools. If I want to go to an expensive school and the GI Bill won't cover everything, I'm not going to choose that school. But this school said, well hang on, there's a lot of things good about this person. I want them in my educational institution. This is one way they can help cover the difference, if you will. It just shows the degree to which this program has been crucial for the nation. The GI Bill is super important.
Yeah. Now, I can't speak for every university that's out there, but having worked in higher education, both as a civilian and as an ROTC instructor, I can tell you that universities absolutely, just as you are saying, Reed, want veterans to be there, and they will go to great lengths to ensure the success of veterans when they enroll in the university. So you'll find there are things like vet success centers. They will pay full-time staffs to make sure that you have all the tools and knowledge necessary to be successful, not only in the classroom, but also in navigating your educational benefits like the GI Bill. And so absolutely, I totally agree with what you're saying, Reed, that universities want you and you should not shy away from using these benefits and seeking out that type of help at the university that you choose to attend, or encouraging your airmen to do the same for the schools that they are attending.
Absolutely. All right. So Colin, let's kind of talk about the three most common use cases when it comes to the GI Bill. So there's three that we're going to really discuss today. The first, and these are a little bit less common, to be honest, is if you're currently serving and you're trying to attain a graduate degree.
A graduate degree for yourself or a bachelor's degree for your airman.
Yes. The next two are going to be the more common, and we'll go into those a little bit more in depth, but that's a post-transition graduate education or some sort of career change training. And then the third is the transfer of education benefits to dependents. So let's first start with if you are currently serving and seeking a graduate degree.
Yeah. So in this situation, you are on orders, you're wearing the uniform, you have a full-time job with the military, or maybe even part-time job in that you're serving in the Guard or Reserve. you can use this while on orders to help pay for your school. And the percentage that you qualify for are still subject to your time in service beyond any applicable ADSC. But something that is really important for our audience to understand is that if you are on orders, actively serving, meaning on active duty or activated within the Guard or Reserve, you will not qualify for any sort of housing allowance while using the GI Bill. The reason being is that you're already getting it because you are on active duty, right?
Yep. So our general advice is to use TA first, then GI Bill, and seek some guidance from the professionals, whether it be at the Airman Family and Readiness Center or the VA. You know, use some resources to help you kind of figure out the best way to help you pay for school, depending on your situation.
Yeah. So the situation where it might come up where you can't use the TA and you have to use the GI Bill is maybe you already have that bachelor's degree and you're looking to get a second one. Maybe you already have a master's degree and you're looking to get a second one because you're targeting a very specific career post military service and you don't want to pay out of pocket. You don't want to, you know, use student loans. It's in that type of situation that you might consider seriously using your GI Bill.
Yeah, outstanding. All right, so let's talk about the next two use cases. So the one that is the stereotypical that's going to be discussed online that most people think of when they think of the GI Bill, they think of someone who's separated from the military and they're seeking education. They're either going to get their first bachelor's, they're going to get a graduate degree, but let's just outline this benefit. So for 36 months, you're going to have up to 100% of tuition and fees paid directly to the university you're attending. You're going to get a basic allowance for housing at an E5 dependent rate for the location you're living. And just real fast for our audience, the basic allowance for housing is an allowance given to DoD members, and it's based on your rank, whether you have dependents or not, and where you're living, the zip code. And there's all sorts of calculators online. There's official ones on the DoD's website that you can find this. You literally just put in E5 with dependents, zip code of the school, and it'll tell you exactly how much you're going to be getting every month paid directly to you to help you pay for living.
Yeah, something I want to clarify, the BAH is not based off of where you are living, but where you are, one, either assigned for your duty station, or if you're in this kind of post-transition pursuing graduate education, is the location of your school. Because take me as an example, my university is in Ireland, but I'm living in the United States. So if I use my GI Bill benefit, I will receive the international rate, not the rate for an E5 with dependents here in Utah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. But that's a huge benefit. Just straight out, that one. And then additionally, up to $1,000 a year for books and supplies.
Yeah, and all of these benefits, the tuition paid, the BAH, the book allowance, the book stipend, all of those are tied to the amount of time that you have served. So if you only qualify for 50% of the GI Bill benefit, you receive 50% of tuition, 50% of the housing allowance, 50% of the book stipend. And that's what happened to me when I used the GI Bill coming off active duty the first time. I only received 40% because that was the amount that I qualified for at the time. And it was enough for me to get through school. But man, missing out on that additional 60% really stung.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's step back, look at the 25,000 foot view of this. Up to 100% tuition and fees paid, basic allowance for housing, basically free rent, and $1,000 a year for supplies and books for up to 36 months. That's just, that's staggering.
Yeah, and that 36 months is not a running clock. Like, as soon as you initiate the benefit, you have 36 months to use it and then it's gone. It doesn't work that way. It's 36 months based on the number of days that you are enrolled in a degree program. So say that the academic year is, I don't know, I'm just going to pull a number out, is 200 days long. Well, you've only used 200 days of your 36-month benefit. And so you have 36 months minus 200 days to continue using it until you are no longer eligible.
Yeah, just an incredible benefit. It really is an effective recruiting tool. Wow, I could get school paid for. You know, I could come in, I could serve my time, I could get out, I can go to school. I know for my father, for example, who was an enlisted airman ammo troop, this was a huge, huge recruiting tool that attracted him very significantly to joining the Air Force, was the option to get in, do his enlistment, and then have school paid for.
Yeah, huge. Anything else you want to say about this particular use case, which is probably the most common, that you or your airmen coming off of your military service are going to use this for your own educational purposes?
Yeah, just I want to emphasize again that if you have airmen that are transitioning out and you are not at least asking them, do they have a plan? Are they thinking about the GI Bill? If you are not asking that question, I think you're in the wrong place. You need to ask them. And if they've got a plan and they've got something else and it does not include school, that is fine. But you have to ask the question. It is your job to care for them as a human being, as a person. And this is a benefit that's available to them. And we owe it to them to at least bring it up. And yes, they're going to get some of this stuff at TAPS, the transitioning airman program that you've talked about, Colin. But that doesn't mean that you as a supervisor can just shelve it and say, oh, someone else is going to take care of that. That is your job to take care of your people. I just really want to hammer that home.
And honestly, hearing about it at TAP for the first time is way too late.
Yeah, totally agreed. That's why we're bringing this episode to our audience today. It's just too late. You know, hey, I've already got a plan. I'm moving out. Wait, I could go to school for free? Like yeah. That is not good to hear that for the first time there.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the third use case, which is going to be the second most common and one that probably most people aren't thinking about very much, just because when they're first introduced to the idea of transferring the benefit of the GI Bill to a spouse or a dependent, they probably don't have a spouse or a dependent. And so it just doesn't register. It doesn't compute. And so we're bringing it up here, but it's something that hopefully you will find ways to revisit on a regular basis. So, Reed, what are we talking about when we say the transfer of educational benefits to a spouse or a dependent?
So the basic idea of this is kind of in the title there. If you don't want to use your 9/11 GI Bill benefits, you can actually give them to your dependents. So if you are married, you could give your spouse this exact benefit that we've just outlined. You could give that to them and they are eligible to go to school for 36 months to get basic allowance for housing, to get tuition paid for, to get $1,000 for books and supplies. All that stuff could be given to them. Same for your children. So this is what I actually chose to do. My wife is already done with school. I am pretty much done with the school I want to do. And I have three children. And we've determined together as partners, we sat down and had this conversation and discussed it, you know, at length. What do we want for our kids? And we felt that the best thing we could do is to give them the option to attend a university. And so we transferred 12 months of the education benefit to each of our children. So in order to do that, there are some specific things you have to have accomplished. So you have to have at least 6 years completed at the point you request to transfer your benefits. So you kind of have to be in for longer than average, I would say. You also agree to 4 more years of service. So you incur a 4-year ADSC. Now, the person getting the benefits, they have to be in DEERS, which is the Defense Enrollment Eligibility Reporting System. So DEERS is kind of the system where your dependents are accounted for. And we're not going to go into all the details of who is eligible to be in DEERS. It's complicated, right? But your MPF is there to help you with that. The VA is there to help you with that. But bottom line, they need to kind of be attached to you. So it gets complicated when we talk about multi-partner families, right, where you have divorces and you have children with other spouses, like things get kind of complicated. But if they're in DEERS and attached to you, then these folks are eligible to receive this benefit.
Yeah. And when you go to make the request through the MillConnect system, the names that show up there in MillConnect are pulled from DEERS. And so if you want to transfer the benefit to a new child or a new dependent and you don't have them in DEERS, you will not have the option of transferring educational benefit to them until you get them correctly enrolled in DEERS.
Exactly.
And something else that I want to say here about the transfer of educational benefits to dependents is that it is not subject to a percentage based on your eligibility, because by the time that you are eligible for this type of benefit, you're already likely beyond that ADSC that gives you the full benefit. So you're never going to find yourself in a position where a spouse or a dependent is using the benefits transferred to them and to only receive 50 or 60 or 70%, right? They will, in every case, receive 100% of the benefit that you qualified for through your service.
Yep. All right. So let's break up the two groups. You've got spouses and you've got children. The benefits they get and the rules under which they can use them are slightly different. For spouses, they can use the transferred benefits immediately. Even if you are still on active duty, they can be using your GI Bill to be getting some benefits while you are serving. Now, if you are active duty, they will not qualify for the housing allowance because you're already getting a housing allowance, right, while you're on active duty. So they're not going to be getting the housing allowance, but they will get the $1,000 a year for books and supplies and the tuition. They can use it right away, like we said, or up to 15 years after you've separated from active duty or retired. All right. For children, a little bit different, more stringent, if you will. They can only use the benefit after you have completed 10 years of service. And they can also, again, use it while you're on active duty or separated or retired. They have to have a high school diploma or equivalent, right? GED, et cetera, or have reached 18 years of age. So sorry if you've got a hyper savant that graduated high school at 12. You have to wait. Maybe. I'm actually not sure about that because they'd have a diploma. Talk to your local VA.
Right.
Yeah. If you're in that situation, maybe you don't need to worry about paying for college anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, this is a difference in benefit. Your children can qualify for the monthly housing allowance, even if you are on active duty. So that allows for your child to go off to school in the most classical sense that occurs here in the United States. While you're on active duty, they can still go away to go to school and get that housing allowance.
Which, by the way, that's so huge. With how much it costs for room and board around different universities, and for you to be able to afford your own living expenses, and then for your child to be able to afford living on or around campus is such an amazing benefit.
It is. It absolutely is. So they don't have to use this benefit within the 15 years of your separation or retirement, but they have to be younger than 26 to use this benefit. So they can't, you know, be 40 years old, have their family their own, decide to go back to school for some other degree. It's too late at that point. That benefit is no longer available to them. Like I said, when I discussed what I did with this, I transferred it in chunks. So you can spread this out among your dependents. It's nice and even for me. I have three children. We wanted to give them each the same opportunity. So each of my children get 12-month benefits. Another thing that's really important when it comes to the transfer of these education benefits, this is not something you can undo. I don't know what happens if one of your children passes away or something like that. You know, again, find your local VA to ask them that question if you're in that situation. But this is something you have to be very deliberate about and you have to take it very seriously. You need to kind of be in the right headspace to make some of these decisions.
There are some things that you can undo. Like, you do have the ability to revoke the transfer of benefits. You can give more or less time, but there comes a point where everything becomes concrete. And that certainly is the case once you've separated or retired. You can no longer make any more adjustments to the transfer of educational benefits.
Yeah. So it pays to be very deliberate and serious as you make these decisions. But yeah, Colin, we've said this a number of times. These are incredible benefits. Universally lauded across the political spectrum, across the generations, these opportunities that have been afforded to the men and women who have served their nation are incredibly valuable. And not just from a personal development perspective, but from an actual fiscal perspective, the money that is available is just incredible. So there's a lot of places that you can go to get informed. One is Airman Family Readiness Center. They're going to have some information, pamphlets, people you can talk to. The Base Education Office is also going to be a great resource. Also recommend a VA benefits counselor. We've talked a lot about the VA. They can be very helpful in this situation. What are some other places our audience can turn to get some more information?
Yeah, they can, like I mentioned earlier, universities will have oftentimes some sort of vet success center. And the kind of person that you want to talk to when you go there is called a certifying official. The certifying official is the person who actually has authority from the VA to sign off on your VA educational benefits. And so they'll have all of the answers on how to use your GI Bill there at the university. You can also get involved with various different veterans organizations, such as the American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars. You can also be a member of the Military Officers Association of America, or MOA. Each of these different veterans organizations have people who are specifically assigned to help you as a veteran gain access to it and use your benefits correctly.
Yeah. I know you and I used a number of these resources as we were preparing for this episode, Military OneSource, military.com, and a bunch of others to try and get this information. So hopefully this has been helpful for the audience. Again, we apologize for the brevity. I know we've been on here for a while, but we have really only touched the very, very tip-top surface of all of these things. And the level of detail that you will need to go through in order to get exactly what is afforded to you, we just simply couldn't entertain it in this format. Please seek some information and guidance from others. We're happy to guide you in the best way we can, but we're probably going to point you to other resources that we're aware of. But again, we love to hear from you. Please reach out if you have any questions or concerns about this topic in particular. Any other thoughts, Colin, before we wrap it up for this week?
Yeah, what I hope this episode has done for our audience is shown how amazing these benefits are and encourage our audience to use the benefits for themselves or for their airmen. And then the other thing is shown the audience how complicated these things are just from the very surface level, you know, discussion about it, which is why you absolutely have to go talk to other people at those different locations that we mentioned so that you can get the no kidding information as it applies to you and your specific situation. These things are so important that you are likely going to get it wrong or miss something if you do it on your own, or if you never engage with the information to begin with. And they're just such amazing benefits that you do not want to miss out on them or have your airmen miss out on them.
Yeah, totally agree.
So we, again, like Reed was saying, we encourage you to send us your questions. If you know somebody who would benefit from hearing this type of discussion and you want to encourage them to go get more information, please share this episode with them. And let's encourage each other to get all the information and use these benefits correctly.
Likewise, if any of you in the audience are an expert in these programs, you've used them, and if we've gotten something wrong, help us out. Let us know. We are more than happy to come on here and correct something in order to make sure that the people out there are getting the most accurate information and getting the most out of this benefit.
Great. Thanks for listening to this week's episode, Commission Ed.
Thank you for listening to Commission Ed, the Air Force Officer Podcast. The views and opinions of the authors expressed herein do not state or reflect those of the government and shall not be used for advertising or product endorsement purposes. Mention of any specific commercial products, process, or service by trade name, trademark, manufacturer, or otherwise does not necessarily constitute nor imply its endorsement, recommendation, or favoring by the U.S. government. The mention of companies by name is solely for the purpose of discussion and should not be implied as endorsement.